Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Paul Bowers, and I'll be your preacher today. And when I found out that I was going to be preaching, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. So I thought I'd look at some examples of some preachers that I'd seen. I figured I might do it like Pastor Stan and throw in jokes every once in a while, make sure everybody's awake. I might do it like Mr. Keith and stomp my foot for emphasis. Could do it like Ryan Brownlow, or our youth pastor, and say, rattle, rattle.
Shake,
shake. But most people wouldn't get that. But suddenly this image of an old school Baptist preacher popped into my mind, like you see on BET sometimes. This guy standing up there yelling at people, spitting fire and brimstone. And I kept thinking about that, and I realized fire is a good idea for a sermon because people are fascinated with fire a lot of the time. I have this cousin. She's probably 3 or 4, and when her family went to Universal Studios, they saw the Indiana Jones show, and the only thing she'd ever say about it, if you asked her about it, was, Indiana Jones have fire. There were a lot of pyrotechnics, and she loved that. But fire is important in the Bible, too. In Genesis, it mentions God raining fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. In Exodus, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And in Revelation, it mentions people being cast in a lake of fire. But fire didn't have a spiritual meaning to me, really, until we went to this this conference called Acquire the Fire in North Carolina. And our youth group went to it, and it was the idea was that people should have a fire for God, which is a passion for Christ, that a lot of people are missing. And the idea was that everybody should be on fire for God like that. And so I decided to make the title of my sermon Pyromania. Get your attention. It's about fire. And since a lot of people use acronyms, I figured I'd do that. I did fire. F-I-R-E. Fire. In case you were wondering. The F in fire stands for free your mind. You might have seen The Matrix. I don't know if you have, but the idea of the movie is that people are living in a dream world that's being controlled by other forces that want to keep us from seeing the truth. And it's kind of like real life because we have distractions that are keeping us from our relationships with God. We have the TV, the radio, and all kinds of stuff, and movies and everything that's just distracting us. It's enough to make you want to go Amish. And in Psalms 4:3, it says, "Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call to him." And that's about not conforming to the world and all the stuff that they keep shooting at us with the media. And a lot of the time, it's easy to just blend in with the crowd, especially when you go to a school of 3,500, like Somerville High School. I was sick one day, and I didn't go to school. And I think 3 of my teachers noticed I was absent. It's that bad. But as Christians, we're supposed to stand out. We should be different. We shouldn't blend in. And in Isaiah 48:10, it says, "See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." And what's saying there is that our walk with God, it's not always easy, and we're going to have affliction, and the pain is part of the process sometimes. And in Mark 9:43-47, this is one of my favorite passages. It says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with 2 hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with 1 eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell." There's this guy, Caleb, that went. He was in our youth group a couple years back, and he had a glass eye. And when he heard that, he said, "Oh, okay." And he took a spork and just popped it out. People got freaked out by that. That was weird. And that's kind of an extreme example, but it makes the point that your body can be a distraction. It's yourself. You can't blame everything on the world. A lot of times what's keeping us from a relationship with God is in ourselves. You can't blame everything on everybody else. And in Jeremiah 23:29, it says, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" And the Bible is strong medicine, and that's what we need if we want to free our minds. We have to focus on God's word if we want to free your mind, Neo. And I, the next letter in fire, stands for ignite the flame. And this is the exciting part of our relationship. This is where we get on fire for God. In Matthew 3:11, it says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And that's John the Baptist speaking. And at that point, he'd been in the desert baptizing people for a while, and people liked that, but he knew that there would be a more meaningful experience when Jesus came. And it'd mean a lot more when Jesus came down, and the baptism would be more meaningful and more fulfilling. And that happens in Acts 2, 1 through 4. On the day of Pentecost, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." And what happened on Pentecost was basically the first revival. We talk about revivals a lot in the church, but this was important. This rallied God's people, especially the disciples. And there's some important things it says there, like a violent wind from heaven. That's the Holy Spirit coming down to the apostles. And tongues of fire, fire again, represents the power of God's presence in there. And it's also important that it says the fire separated, and it came down on each of them individually, because it's important to be with the family of God and experience Him together. But unless you experience Him mano y mano, just one-on-one, then you can't carry out God's will. It has to be personal, too. So F stands for free your mind. I, ignite the flame. That's up there. R, the next letter, stands for rekindle the flame. Sometimes as Christians, we get burned out, and that's a pretty common expression that probably gets overused a little, but it happens, and we need God's help to get back on track and to get the fire back in our life sometimes. In Revelation 3:15 through 17, it says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." This is an all or nothing relationship for God is what it's calling for here. And if you want to serve for God, you have to have complete devotion. You have to be consistent with what you do and what you say. And you have to be all out for God. And it also mentions in the second half of the verse, lukewarmness is, it can be a result of being content with the stuff of the world. It says that if you're content with all the stuff here, then you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. They're harsh words, and it's really driving the point through that you have to focus on God and God's things, not the world's things. And another good metaphor for Christian life other than fire is salt. You probably heard Mark 9:50. It says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." And you can look at that different ways based on what salt does. Salt can make people thirsty, which if you go to the mall and get a pretzel, you can't not buy a Coke. You'll just die of thirst. And in the same way, we should make people thirsty for Christianity. We should show them that we have something special, and they should want that just by looking at us and watching how we live our lives. And also, salt preserves food. In the Stone Age before refrigerators, people used salt to keep meat from going bad. And in the same way, we should preserve society from its own sinful nature and everything. We should be the salt of the world. But either way you look at it, salt serves no purpose if it loses its saltiness. It's just rocks, and that's pointless. And so as Christians, if we use our unique flavor, then we're not doing any good. We're not helping anything. But the verse before that, Mark 9:49, a lot of people overlook it. It just says, "Everyone will be salted with fire." And what that means is debatable, but one possible meaning is that there's a separate fire for believers and non-believers. Everybody will get fire, but the non-believers, of course, they're preserved for eternity in the fire of judgment. But believers, as believers, we're seasoned by the fire of our struggles, and we receive the fire of the Holy Spirit if we accept it. So that's how you rekindle the flame if you get burned out. And E, evangelize, the last letter in fire. Once we're on fire for God, we need to spread the fire to other people. It's like Smokey the Bear and his "Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires" thing, only backwards. We're supposed to spread the fire. And it's about that in the Great Commission. It says in Matthew 28:19-20, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." These are marching orders for the church. It's not just a suggestion. This is what he's telling us to do. And it's the church's duty to spread the gospel. And that's why we're going on a mission trip. I'm going with six other people, the seven of us, to probably Jamaica or wherever we're led. And we want to show you a video about this. It's about evangelism. Can I do better?
Nearly 2 billion people across the world have never heard the name of Jesus.
66,000 people die every day without knowing the love of Christ.
More than 300 people will be lost forever while you consider what this video has to say.
The little boy that I was telling you about, I got to pray with him. I found out that his name was Andreas, and he had a lot of family trouble. His dad was an alcoholic, and his mom didn't really care for him much. And the little boy had a lot of stuff going wrong with his life, and I just felt like, wow, whatever I did, it touched his life.